Ephesians chapter 6. I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Standing strong in the struggle. Now, last week we were able to look at verses 10 through 13 and it just kind of highlights the truth that we are in a struggle, but God has given us the ability to stand strong. I dare say that most of us, if not all of us, could identify with this truth, that life has its struggles. Life has its difficulties and its trials. But the Word of God tells us to stand strong, and having done all, to stand. A couple observations I'd like to draw your attention to by way of this text, and I'm specifically referring to verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to notice that there are several verbs in this passage that are present tense. Now, why do I draw your attention to this? And you might say, Pastor, please do not bore us with grammar. Well, I trust that it's not boring, but I'm going to share grammar. And present tense is something that is happening. It happens right now, and it has this, in many cases, has a continual aspect to it, a continual happening. And a reason I share that with you is because as believers, we need to understand this truth in the aspect of standing strong. Now, this first verb that is a present tense is be strong in the Lord. Why is that significant? Why is it significant that it's not just a past tense, something that is done? Because you and I know that the struggles just continue. We need to continually what? Be strong, right? It's something that should be a regular part of our lives. Taking that stance of strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, this strength comes from the Lord, but I want you to realize that is something that is continually ours. Believer, that should mean so much. Because life just keeps on going around us. You know, when a difficulty happens or a struggle, sometimes life seems to stand still for a while, but everybody else just blows right by. You often wonder, does anybody care? Does anybody ever think about what has happened in my life? And, you know, that's just a raw human emotion and feeling. But you know what? God's Word tells us, be strong. It's present tense. It's something that He does in our lives and grants us strength. Look at verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The next present tense is that you may be able. Think about that one. That you may continually be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hope, believer. Hope. That you can continually be able to stand. See, grammar has some power and meaning in it, doesn't it? Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, you don't necessarily see it here in the way the King James is translated, but our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, is not continual in that our struggle is something that is not continually against flesh and blood. It's against these other things, these real rulers that exist with real powers they possess, in real darkness they preside, for real wickedness they promote. And we looked at that last week. Let me go down to verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. is the Word of God. What does that mean? Well, that means that the sword of the Spirit is continually the Word of God. It continually is that truth. Boy, that's special. It doesn't change. It's always the Word of God, Word of truth. And then finally, in verse 18, praying always, that's a continual action. That's a present tense. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. So in this passage, you have this present idea, this continual idea that, yes, we are to continually be strong because of the existence of a struggle. But the strength is continually ours. And you will be able, and you are able, to stand. You know, sometimes I hesitate to share those little things with you, but, you know, sometimes it grabs the attention of someone out there, and it might just be enough to encourage them to help them through this next week in their struggles to realize these present tense continual truths that God is continually granting strength, that I will be continually able to stand against the wiles of the devil. As we look at this passage, and I believe that this is a very popular passage that many of you have probably studied, you've heard taught, preached before, I just want to draw our attention to a couple observations here this morning. First of all, that this stand is in the power of God's might. That is, that the practical outworking of this is the whole armor of God. So Paul makes a statement, you got to take a stand. The practical outworking of that is the whole armor of God. And as I shared with the children earlier, it's the whole armor. It's not bits and pieces. It's not just truth and righteousness. It's just not faith and salvation. It's the whole armor that will yield success in this battle. You see, the illustration that Paul uses with this armor is a very clear one, because these people he was writing to knew all about soldiers. There were soldiers on the streets every day. There were soldiers that would go to battle. There were soldiers that would have armor such as this. The stand is in the power of God's might. The struggle, it's against the power of the devil's realm. So practically speaking, dear ones, we are powerless to combat this apart from God. Think about that. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. You see, you know, we can sometimes handle the flesh and blood battles. You know, we can grab a hold of that. We can wrestle with that. But we're not doing that. That's not the struggle. The struggle is against the devil's realm, against these powers that are not flesh and blood. And you know what? We're powerless against that in and of ourselves. Why do you think that those who do not know Christ, why is it that they go the devil's way? They don't have anything else to do and no power to go against it. That's their life. Ephesians chapter 2, for we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead. There's no life to be able to divert them away from the devil's schemes. But believer, it's a totally different story for you and me. With God, we're able to combat his schemes. We're in fact able to stand strong. In fact, we are even given this thought, that when the smoke clears and the battle's over, we'll still be standing. If you look at the end of verse 13, look at this. And having done all, to stand. It's not after finishing it all, you can crawl yourself back up into a standing position and okay. No, you're standing. The smoke clears. The battle's over.
and you are on the victory side. Amen. Amen. And so the stand is sure for the Christian as they put on the whole armor of God. How significant is putting on the whole armor of God? Well, the battle is so fierce, the enemy is so cunning, the repercussions so great that a Christian cannot afford to let off the consistent application of this armor every day. If he does, he will most assuredly suffer a wound or allow another soul to go down in defeat. And what I mean by that is a non-Christian to die in Satan's schemes. Dear ones, I want you to get the big picture here, because so often when we look at this passage, we picture ourselves in a battle. But I want you to realize that we're not in this battle alone. There's a lot of things happening in and around our lives. I want you to picture the landscape. The landscape is quite barren. It's dry. There is fighting and destruction and death all around us. But where you stand, there is life, there is light. The thirsty find water. The hungry find food. And you know what? You're not there alone. You are there, and so is the believer next to you, and the believer in front of you, and the believer that you know at work, and the believer that's in your family, the believer that you meet at the family reunion. You're in this battle all together. Because the book of Ephesians talks about how wealthy and rich we are in Christ, but it describes the church. And as the church, we are Christ's body. But as individuals, we make up the members of that body. But never forget that we're members of a body. And so, dear ones, as we talk about this battle and as we talk about this armor, I want you to realize something. That as you're fighting, you're not fighting alone. And you, dear believer, and myself included, we better make sure that our brothers and sisters know they're not fighting alone. Now, of course we need to understand that as we are fighting in this battle, the power comes from God. We in and of ourselves are weak. We don't even all the times, we can't even see or touch the enemy, but things happen around us. As I was thinking and preparing for this, my mind went back to some of the struggles that I encounter in my life, and I will be vulnerable with you today to just kind of illustrate a little bit of what I am learning in regards to these things. Because the struggle and the battle is not something that is seen, I want you to understand what that means. There are things that happen in your life that you would describe as a physical happening, whether it be somebody that gets in your face, wants to fight with you because they think you did something to them or said something or whatever. You have very physical struggle that's happening there, absolutely. But God wants us to understand and be discerning as believers that the real core and depth of what takes place in the physical battles of life is actually things that happen in the spiritual realm on matters of the heart and mind. Okay? In the counseling room, when I'm dealing with folks and seeking to help them understand how to help with their marriages or love their husband or wife better or how to parent their children or whatever it might be, you know, the real struggle, one of the things I say is the enemy is not your spouse. The enemy is sin and Satan's power. You see, the real struggle and issues, for example, in a marriage that is struggling, is not that the husband is a lousy man and doesn't lead, which it may be very true, But the real core issue is this lousy husband that's not leading, he's lost without Christ. And he's just plain living the life of the world because he doesn't know Christ. He needs Christ. Or you could even say that if he professes Christ, then you can address matters of the flesh, matters of sin in his life that is bearing fruit of Satan's kingdom. And so you attack those things, and the symptoms, the physical actions change as the heart within changes. Church, listen, we need to understand this, because whether you know it or not, you bear influence in the lives of other people. And you as a believer need to understand that the core battles and things, that the root of what's taking place in life is not the physical blood that's being spilt, but it's the sin that's going on in this world. It's the devil and his schemes. That was a long introduction. Now you can sigh and say, oh boy, just getting started. Yep. As I observed this, oh, I didn't tell you my struggle, did I? Got out of that one easy, huh? Okay, I'll get back to that. I want you to notice a couple observations. Paul, in this, he's using typical Roman armor of the day, all right? So just a little background. Typical armor of the day, similar to what you see here in this figurine. Why? It's making more sense to the people. It makes sense. They're going to understand this, get a grasp of what he's talking about. The importance of a soldier's armor, it's very important, it's apparent, and so the illustration gains ground in the hearts and minds of people. For us, yes, our soldiers don't dress like this, but we do understand the importance of armor. If you've studied history, you know how these have played a role in so many battles. There are six parts of this armor that Paul highlights in this passage. Now, each one of them is linked to an aspect of God's power and presence in a believer. Notice what I said there. Each piece of armor is linked to an aspect of God's power and presence in a believer. For example, you have the belt of truth. The belt is a physical part of the armor, but it is linked to truth, which is an aspect of God's power and presence in a believer. Also, I want you to notice that Paul, the order that Paul lists these in, it seems as if the soldier is getting dressed. The soldier is getting prepared and ready for battle. And so it gives this idea, it gives the image of preparing for war. Believer, what is it that God wants you to understand today? God wants you to understand that you can stand strong in this battle. God wants you to understand the reality of this battle. It's real, and it's a big fight. But God's power is our might. In my life, on a regular basis, I personally struggle with fear of man. I fear what you might think of me. I fear of what people say about me. It can be so all-consuming in my life that it distracts my attention from home. I can be home and not be home. Anybody know what I mean? I can take a comment that is said, a phrase that is written, and it can bother me all day long. Anybody with me on that? I think it's more common than we admit. It took me a while to admit it, but it took a dear friend to just point it out in me and say, you got this problem. And ever since then, it's been a fight, because it's something you got to fight against. Because here's why. This is an issue in my life where I believe the evil one seeks to distract me and weaken me and cause me to be unproductive or not as productive for his kingdom. Very easy, quick example. After I preach on Sunday mornings, okay, and everybody goes home, what do you think I'm thinking about? I'm a fearer of a man. And I, as a fearer of man, I can say, and I am not seeking anything, any praise from, I'm just being open and vulnerable with you, but I could go like this. This could be my mindset. My mindset could be, they look bored. Nobody said anything. They had this question. I didn't like how it sounded. And I could go on and on and on. And I walk from that door over to that door. I go in the house. I take off my jacket. I take off my tie. I go into the kitchen. And my wife, she knows this. I come in and I sigh. And whenever she hears that, she knows exactly where I'm at. Because I'm beating myself up. Because I'm wondering what man thinks of me. Now, what do you think that does in my relationship with my kids and my wife? I'm not there. I'm consumed by it. I'm distracted by it. I'm not fulfilling the role that God wants me to be. And so, therefore, I'm not as productive and not fulfilling what God has intended me to be and to do. And I'm thankful God has pointed that out in my life, and I'm thankful that he has given me tools to be able to combat that. Now, that's my issue. You have other issues, or I have other issues too, but everybody's different. But here's the thing. We're not just left alone to fight that battle all by ourselves with no tools or implements or ideas of what to do. I mean, how would you combat something like that if you didn't know God? What would you do? You just spiral. Boom, boom, boom. I wouldn't want to get up here anymore. I mean, why? No way. You see, God has given us the tools. And this armor of God passage is exactly that. For lack of a better term, it is the picture of these spiritual tools that God has given to us. And God is given them in such a way so that we can look at them as clothing, as something that we're putting on and helping us realize that we are in a battle, we are in a fight, and we have to trust God and the power of his might to push on through the struggle, because the struggle is not going anywhere until Christ comes. We're in it. But you know what? We're not left alone. I didn't plan on saying all that. I didn't even get into my message, but we're going to have to quit. But what we're going to do, and just kind of whet your appetite, is we're going to kind of march through how these pieces of armor help us with these kind of battles. And I want you this week, here's some homework, okay? Here's a growth project for you, as some counselors call them. Growth project. You need to identify what some of these struggles are in your life. What are they? You know, is it a fear of man? Or is it burdens of the past that the devil's using to beat you? What are they? What are the things? Pride. Do you lie? Are you lying? Are you a hypocrite? Whatever it might be, you need to identify what those things. What is it, the struggle? What's the struggle that's happening in your life? What's the battle? Where's it? What's it looming around? Understand that. Because understanding that and seeing that is first part of it, identifying the battle. And then we're going to apply the tools. The tools, briefly, they are truth. Truth. They are righteousness. They are the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's a neat one. The shield of faith. Faith. Salvation. And the word of God. Dear ones, this breathes life into a beaten, downtrodden believer. It breathes life into you. You and I need this, and I trust you want it. You long for it. Lord, interesting morning, but I thank you for guiding and directing. I thank you for being in ultimate control of all of these things, and I praise you, Lord, for your people, and I pray that you would march through this passage with us in the weeks to come. God, I had a different plan today, but Lord, obviously what happened was what you desired, and I trust you with that, and I thank you for being God. I'm glad I'm not. And Lord, do a mighty work in each of our hearts this week. In Jesus' name, amen.